Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Michael T. Toole, contributing writer for Turner Classic Movies, among many other endeavors, a jack of all writing trades. Thanks
Struggling
for
struggling but
here.
Surviving, yes.
Right.
Glad to be here.
So we're going to start this week with The Soloist, starring Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr. It is the true story of Nathaniel Anthony Ayers. Oh, and Michael is making a thumbs down and holding his nose gesture over here, and I can't necessarily disagree. This movie is about Nathaniel Anthony Ayers. He's a schizophrenic homeless musician, as is often the case, and he was befriended and helped by Steve Lopez, who's played by Robert Downey Jr., a columnist for the LA Times, who ended up writing a book about the guy as well, and it's the story of their beautiful friendship and Steve Lopez's attempts to make Ayers sane, I guess you would say, and he sort of fails at that.
Yeah, the film fails. I mean, the script fails.
Well, that too, yes.
I mean, the script was just – it was just a mess. I thought, you know, thematically, there's just no clarity. I mean, what was it about? You know, was it about the it's about the friendship, yes, to a degree. But there's also elements, advocacy of the homeless, advocacy of the mentally ill, the redemptive power of music. All these things are just sort of crammed in to the screenplay, and it doesn't really deal with any of those topics with any depth.
Right.
And because of that, it feels like a really shallow, you know, empty piece.
Yeah, I mean, it felt to me like nothing really happened in this movie. I mean, they meet and they become friends, sort of, or there's an exploitation relationship
right,
going on there,
very
something
much.
What it is. And I mean, really, that was what it was about. It was about Steve Lopez's sort of internal struggle about whether is he exploiting this guy, mm-hmm. is he helping him, how can he help him. And I think cinematically, it's hard to make internal struggle come across on screen. I haven't read the book, and maybe it's a lot more interesting mm-hmm. on the page when you're getting his firsthand account of how he dealt with this situation. But I think as a movie, it's tough to visualize that. And I know we were talking at the screening about the director, Joe Wright, mm-hmm. who I think is a talented guy and who's made a couple of interesting films. He made a version of Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley. He made the movie Atonement, both of which I think are movies that have their issues, but visually are very impressive. And I think his style is very showy, I guess.
Yeah, it has almost like an operatic grandeur to it. It's very,
right.
It's very, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But for me, though, it without a really good script, all that stylistic overkill just makes it look silly.
Yeah.
You know, I got so fed up with the, you know, those aerial shots.
Right.
Symbolizing in this vast city lies a story that just might affect you. And I'm going, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. Okay, this is the fifth time we've seen it. So for me, it was the redundancy of that just started to get, you know, it only highlighted the shortcomings of the script.
Right.
And I also had a problem. You know, I like Jamie Foxx normally as an actor, but I've worked with him mentally. I worked in the mental health industry, and I can tell you it takes more than just a few facial tics, avoiding eye contact, and random rants to convey mental illness.
Yeah.
And so it was a very one-note performance.
Yeah, one in a movie with many classic. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Well, my thing is that it's a shame. I'll give Fox a little bit of slack because it's not like he had a great script to work with.
Right.
But at the same time, you brought up one of the points about the internal struggle of Steve Lopez. It's so through his it's really only through his viewpoint. They don't even bother to define what's wrong with Foxx.
Right.
We guess through, you know, right. very artful flashbacks.
I mean, part of the reason may be that no one really knows for sure what's wrong with him, and we're in the same position in the audience as the characters are, where they only see how this manifests and they want to help him, but they don't really know how because they don't really know what the cause
right.
of his problem is. And I think that's fair, but I don't disagree. I found the performance very irritating and very not believable. I wasn't able to lose myself in the fact that this was a real person. I didn't.
You never really bought that.
No.
It was just basically a series of facial tics.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing also, you know, again, if you want to concentrate on Lopez's point of view, that's one thing. But there's a certain, I won't say self-righteousness and I won't say smugness, but it was self-congratulatory.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's really, we never get anything, we never really find out more about the situation of what, you know, what, how did he actually get to LA from the first place from New York? We don't even realize that.
Sure.
He just happened to be there for the betterment, for Lopez's character. Exactly. Yeah. And because of that, you know, I think it was exemplified by the very last scene.
Right, which I couldn't stand. Yes,
which just has all the homeless denizens of L.A. in a room dancing to, you know,
aren't
Beethoven.
They beautiful and
dance your cares away. Yeah. It's very patronizing, yes. And it was just... It really highlighted a lot of problems I had with the movie.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think it is a little self-congratulatory about Steve Lopez. Although I liked Robert Downey Jr.'s performance.
I do. That was the only thing. He was edgy enough. And you got the impression of somebody that where he was trying to work for. There's even a moment where I thought his best moment was when he's, you know, what do we do with somebody like this? Do we... you know, the question of free will of the mentally ill.
Right,
you know, do we
right.
force medication so he becomes right. a better person? There were moments where you really did sense that challenge in him, you
yeah.
know, morally,
yeah.
ethically. And that made for probably the few moments of the film that I thought were watchable
right,
and
right.
entertaining. But that those were few and
they
far
were,
between.
They were few and far between. And I think, yeah, I liked that. Like, I was far more interested in Steve Lopez as a person than I was in Nathaniel Ayers as
oh, yeah.
a person. Even though Steve Lopez is... not a remarkable person. I mean, he's a person like, you know, he's an everyday kind of guy that you might meet. I mean, he has
right.
normal problems. He's got an ex-wife and he's got a son and, you know, his personal life is a little dicey and he's got raccoons eating up his yard, which is sort
meeting
of a
coyote urine or something.
Urine, which
yeah.
was kind of funny, but again, it has very little to do with what the movie is ostensibly about, mm-hmm. which is about this mentally ill musician. So yeah, there were a few moments in the movie where you get glimpses in the newsroom where there's Robert Downey Jr. and Catherine Keener, who plays his ex-wife / editor, and
a thankless role though.
Well, true, but she gets more to do than like Stephen Root and Rachel Harris, who are both very funny, really good actors who show up and have like four lines each as Steve Lopez's coworkers. And during those scenes, I was like, you know what? I would have rather watched a movie. Not that we haven't seen this movie many times, but I would rather watch a movie about these four people mm-hmm. as cynical journalists and the way that they deal with downsizing or whatever. I was wanting them to go hang out with Russell Crowe from State of Play from last week, which was a better movie.
An amalgam of
characters. it was very frustrating. And I really think I keep waiting every time I see a movie by Joe Wright and Atonement, the first hour of which, I don't know you if you've seen that.
But, I have, yeah.
And I thought the first hour of that was just really, really impressive. The way his style sort of married with the way the story plays with the linear or non-linear nature of the narrative.
Right, and therefore, you know, form and content match better with that. But
right,
again, with
yes.
with such a woefully undernourished script
oh, yeah.
as this was in The Soloist, it
yeah.
just it makes all those stylistic touches look silly.
They do.
And extravagant.
They do. And I wish he would put himself on a project that fits his, because I really liked, I mean, mm-hmm. I think when those things come together, he really brings something to a movie, and I don't think he brought the right thing to this movie. So out of 5 stars, I would give this 2 out of 5, and I think...
I'm going to give it a 4, really on the strength of Downey's personality alone, but that's it, 4 out of 10.
And that's 4 out of 5, 4 out of 10.
That's not... we're not giving it a singing endorsement.
No,
that's basically 2 out of 5 stars, 1
certainly
out of 5
not.
For you. So.
Yeah, certainly. Well, no, not 1. I would give it 2 out of 5. I'm with you.
Okay,
so, yeah.
All right.
But I mean, I don't think it's... I don't think it's one to see. I think it's a definite disappointment.
Absolutely.
And speaking of disappointing, we can talk about another movie opening this week over at the Village Square, a movie that was big at Sundance this year.
Yeah.
It got, I think it was like a directing award or something like that.
Right.
Called
Sin Nombre.
You have to excuse my horrible pronunciation of Spanish. And it is a movie that's in Spanish, although it's written and directed by an American.
Right.
And it is about two illegal immigrants coming from Mexico and the other coming from Honduras,
right.
who I guess they sort of fall in love in a very roundabout way while they're on this train. They sit on the top of like a cargo train to get themselves to the U.S., which I thought was interesting. That was something I was not familiar with at all, that practice, and that was... That was interesting. But the story itself, this movie is just, I thought it was very dull and very earnest. I mean, like The Soloist, well-intentioned. We all want to support and help the mentally ill, and we want to understand the plight of illegal immigrants.
Right.
But good God, give us some movies that are slightly more interesting about these subjects.
I thought actually the first half was interesting, you know, regarding like the male character and his relationship with the gang affiliations.
Right.
And,
right.
And the daughter, yeah. Right, trying to understand, you know, why her father left her to start a better life in America and he came back for her.
Right.
Wanted
right.
to stay, you know, so those are, it started off really well. And I do think, you know, Cary Fukunaga has a gift for really good compositions.
Yeah, there is
I
some
like
great,
that,
yeah.
You know, I mean, what the story lacked, it made up for in cinematography. I thought those compositions were tight.
Yeah.
You got a really good, strong sense of place at the very beginning of the movie. And then it just becomes this generic, you know, teenagers on the run story. And I just, and all of a sudden the momentum just dropped like a stone.
Yeah.
And I just, I was amazed that it could go from something so sharp and observant in the first half to something so, you know, frankly, predictable.
Yeah, it was.
And boring in the second half.
Yeah.
I just couldn't, it's like two different stories, really, for
right,
me.
Right.
In one film. And, you know, I did think the lead actress, Paulina Gaetan, was terrific. I did like she was natural. She's
yeah.
understated.
Yeah.
But that wasn't enough to compensate for the very dull and dreary, I thought, second half of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I actually didn't like the first half of the movie either.
Really?
I didn't hate any of this movie. I mean,
yeah.
I just sort of like was bored with most of it. And I felt like, and maybe it was because, having read a little bit about the movie, I knew it was about the relationship between mm-hmm. the male character, the
right.
female, the two leads. And I was just wondering, when are they going to meet? When are we going to get to what this story is really about? And I was so bored with the male character. What is it? Willie, or they call
right.
him. He has some nickname. I forget
right.
what it is.
No,
but
it was Willie. His I forget the name of the actor, too, but because
yeah.
he's not very memorable.
No. But and he has this whole relationship in the first half of the movie with another girl
right.
who is – from like the moment you see her is obviously doomed. And so
yeah.
I was just kind of marking time to, all right, when is this girl going to get offed so that we can get him on the train and meeting the other girl and so we can get to what the story is about. And maybe that's my fault for being impatient
mm-hmm.
with a movie that is clearly taking its time to learn about the characters, but I just didn't find them interesting enough to take that much time with them.
No, go ahead. That's fine.
Again, I
really thought the director Cary Fukunaga was smart enough to at least try to compensate with strong local color and strong
yes,
sense of place.
Yes.
And some I mean, there really was. He has really good finesse in some of those shots.
Yeah.
But to me, it's sort of what's the point when you just sort of have a very again the end, not to give away an ending. But because of his gang affiliation, you can go back to film noir. You can't escape the past,
right.
the martyrdom
right,
for the
right.
you know.
Yeah.
When it happened, I was unmoved
oh,
because
yeah.
it was telegraphed so early in advance.
Yes.
And again,
yes.
it worked itself out into just another chase story.
Yeah.
And to me, it's a shame. It's a waste of what I thought was somewhat of a moderately interesting setup. Those characters, I mean, they had something spurred them.
Yeah.
You know, you got some backstory. You got
right.
a sense of why they had to leave because
right.
of the sheer poverty
yeah.
of what the director cut.
Right.
But again, the second half was such a disappointment. It was such a, it betrayed all that was set up before it.
Yeah.
For me,
yeah.
anyways.
I mean, I felt like overall, again, yeah, it does give you some interesting stuff and sort of the mechanics of how these people go about trying to get across the border, I did think was very interesting. And it does have excellent cinematography and just the locations,
right.
the sort of travelogue nature of
right.
it is very vivid and you get a good sense of place. But none of the characters interested me, I wouldn't say, at any point in the first half or the second half. I couldn't care about the guy trying to escape his gang life. I didn't care about these two characters, whether they might fall in love or whether the woman mm. or the girl might reconnect with her father or any of that stuff.
Mm.
I just found it very dull. And the performances were fine, but I felt like they were so understated that I didn't get any sense of what the characters cared about, really.
Mm.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily want to fault the performances because that's the direction and that's the writing as well. But I think overall it just added up to a package that I thought was – intellectually, I was like, oh, I've learned something, but
emotional resonance,
yeah. It definitely lacked.
Yeah, because, again, I did enjoy the first half, but the second half was a severe disappointment for
yeah,
me. It really
yeah.
was generic and very, it was very predictable
yeah.
in every respect. And
yeah.
it's a shame because, well, there was almost like a rush for a very simple conclusion. For example, we know that the characters, we know he's been betrayed by a friend.
Right.
They're waiting for him. They're in that car. They're waiting. They're hiding. There's a truck that's transporting all these vehicles, and they're hiding in that. And somehow the gang members, you know where it's going to be, you know, where that vehicle's being, where it's pulling into, what you know, impound lot, and somehow they're not there. How do they know when to escape before the gang members caught up with them?
Right,
all
really
those things,
that.
Yeah. It's just, all of a sudden, everything was like these rushed conclusions.
Yeah.
And oh boy, it ends up being just like I said, a very You can't recommend the film, really, in that regard.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I think these kind of movies come in. This movie has gotten mostly good reviews, and I think people...
It's been the rave at Sundance.
Yeah, right. And movies like this come out of Sundance, and it's a very Sundancey movie, and people feel good. People feel good about seeing this kind of story about, like, oh, here's some immigrants, or here's some poor people, and I can empathize with them and feel better about
myself. Without being too patronizing.
Right. And I think... I mean, I'm not trying to say that the movie is patronizing, necessarily, but I think... The patrons of the movie may be patronizing.
Right.
And I think that's the wrong reason to champion a film. So, right. Yes, it has good intentions, but it's not really a good movie. I would give it like 2.5 stars out of 5. It's better than The Soloist.
Oh, God, yeah. It was the more engaging. And I have to admit, I did like the lead actress very much.
Right.
I thought she gave more than what the part was – she gave more of herself to what was written.
Yeah.
But overall, I think an extremely disappointing second half. Yeah. I would give it maybe 3, 2.5.
Two and a half, three stars.
It was middling at the very end of the day. I walked away feeling betrayed.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Well, you know, again, when you don't, what's the point of setting up a strong half and then betraying it with a very lazy conclusion, lazy ending?
Yeah, it is lazy and disappointing. So that's a shame. And then, speaking of, there's so many movies coming out this week, and none of which I can recommend. I really wish I could, but a couple other movies opening that you haven't seen, but I unfortunately have. One is Fighting, starring Channing Tatum and Terrence Howard. And, you know, you got to wonder, with a title like that, how generic can the movie be? And the answer is, it can be extremely generic.
Is it about fighting? But at all.
Strangely enough, it is about fighting. It's about underground bare knuckle boxing or whatnot, fight clubs, things like that. And Channing Tatum plays this tough street guy who is able to defend himself. And Terrence Howard, he's like this hustler, and he sees the guy fighting on the street, and he says, "Hey, man, hey, kid, I can make you some money." And so he's got to go fight, and he gets all caught up in the fact that he's getting money, and it's just so predictable. And you know, like earlier in the film, after the first fight, they go to some nightclub, and he sees this old rival from his hometown, which is this huge, ridiculous coincidence. But aside from that, but you know, as soon as he sees that guy, who is going to be his final opponent in the big climax of the film? Well, it's his old rival from his hometown. And you know, as soon as he starts fighting, that someone's going to ask him to throw a fight, and he's going to have too much integrity to throw the fight, and just stuff like that. It's extremely predictable. Bad performances. Channing Tatum is such a wooden actor. And Terrence Howard, I don't know what is going on with Terrence Howard, but he's like the new like Christopher Walken or something, but not in a good way. Just like he's always acting like he's in a completely different movie, like he's on another planet.
He's not with anybody
delivering these lines. So.
Did he ever show up for the table reading or
not? Yeah, apparently not. So I don't know. And the director, Dito Montijo, made what I thought was a pretty good movie in 2006 called A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, which was a coming-of-age kind of story based on his own life that I thought was gritty and well done. And it had some actors, Shia LaBeouf and Channing Tatum, who you don't really think of as particularly good, but who gave good performances in that. But he just kind of goes for the square, boring mainstream of this. So don't see that. Go rent A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, though. That's a good one and sort of overlooked.
What would you give
Fighting? Yeah, I think I could give it about 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5.
That's all. I mean, it's not like the worst thing, but it really doesn't have.
And
much
you know, sometimes films that are that cliched can be fun if you play with a certain exuberance that just borders on self parody.
Yeah,
it can be fun. I mean, we always learned that when we saw Showgirls for crying out loud.
Sure, it could
but
be campy.
If you know, again, if it takes itself too seriously, then it's it's a seal of death.
It seems to. Although Terrence Howard, again, his performance is so weird that you could argue that it's a sort of camp performance. But I didn't really find it entertaining enough. And then speaking of Ernest and Dull, Earth, which actually opened on Wednesday, on Earth Day, which is very socially conscious.
Right.
The documentary from the new Disney Nature, their environmental documentary brand that they've got now. And this is a very pleasant look at the animal kingdom and the world. And it's narrated by James Earl Jones doing his James Earl Jones
this
voice.
This is CNN.
There you go. And it's sort of lame to criticize a movie like this because it's educational. It's good for kids to see. But it's a very cursory. It sort of tries to encompass the Earth. Mm-hmm. So you get a little bit with polar bears, a little bit with ducks, and a little bit with elephants. And you don't really learn in depth about much of anything. And it just kind of hops along from one thing to another. And there's a couple references to global warming that either are out of place or not explored enough. And I was just kind of bored. So I don't know. Take your kids, I guess. It's rated G. You could go see that. Although I would think your kids would much more enjoy like Monsters versus Aliens.
Right,
I think
right.
It's a lot more fun for kids. So don't see any of the movies opening this week, really. It's the bottom line. But I will semi-recommend something that's coming out on DVD on Tuesday, which is JCVD, which I gave a kind of mixed review to when it first opened. But I have a certain affection for Jean-Claude Van Damme, mm-hmm. the classic Muscles from Brussels action star. Well, I think partially it's a personal nostalgic reason because when I was a kid, you know, I grew up watching Jean-Claude Van Damme action movies. And so I have that, even though I know that those movies qualitatively aren't very good, everyone has that kind of thing that you grew up with, whatever it is at the time that you know is not really quality, but it evokes those nice feelings of childhood.
Well, how is he different from so many other, you know, nameless action stars like Stallone or Norris? What makes Jean-Claude Van Damme the action hero for you?
Oh, well, he's not really. I mean, I grew up with all sorts of crappy action heroes. I mean, I watched Schwarzenegger movies and not as much Stallone. I think he was sort of past his prime by the time I was really getting into the action movies. But Steven Seagal,
right.
Also watched a lot of those movies. And the thing that makes this particular movie, though, JCVD, interesting is if you are a fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme, he really does make a lot of effort here to deconstruct his persona, and he gives a pretty good performance. It's in French, which is his native language, and I think that helps because he's not trying to speak English, which even after 20 years, he really can't do.
Right.
And he is not afraid to make fun of himself, but he's also really being introspective and examining what it's like to be this sort of washed-up action hero guy. And it's interesting. The plot, the actual plot of the movie, which has Van Damme as himself trying to foil this bank robbery, and there's the contrast between what he might do in one of his action movies, which is kick everybody's ass and foil the bank robbery in 10 seconds, and in real life he gets taken hostage and he's afraid of being shot and things like that. But plot-wise, it's not the great. It's a fairly standard action movie plot about bank robbers and who cares about the villains. But the moments where he gets into who he is and how his life has gone and stuff, it's interesting. So if, like me, you have a fondness for Jean-Claude Van Damme or you grew up with his movies, I think it's worth a look.
It sounds JCVD. Like that's all you can really do with a genre picture sometimes is to freshen up the cliches.
Right.
A bit of a twist, deviation from the characters that you're normally used to seeing.
Right.
You know, if you can sort of manage that, then it makes it something worth seeing on USA Cable at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, I think so.
If you have insomnia.
And it's a little artier than that, but it has its action. It has one big, like, single take action thing at the beginning, which is kind of cool. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, and better, I would think, than anything opening in the theaters this week. So give that a chance. And don't, I mean, I wish we, I talked about all these movies, but, you know, we can't recommend Soloist, and we can't really recommend Sin Nombre either.
Not really,
I don't think, no. And definitely don't see Fighting. And if you want to take the kids, I guess if you want them to learn something, you can take them to Earth. But really, Monsters versus Aliens, or Coraline, I think, is still playing a couple places. That's good. So, yeah. That's the story for this week. My thanks to Michael T. Toole for being here.
Right. For carping with you.
Exactly. For hating things along with me. I appreciate it.
I would say this. The Soloist I would avoid completely, even on late night cable. Sin Nombre when it's on IFC. Maybe check it out.
It's an okay your couch and not,
yeah.
Yeah.
There.
But don't pay to
don't
go see
it. Don't pay for love. No.
Definitely don't.
Love of God,
definitely
don't.
Mike, my thanks.
Okay.
And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates